Hello, dear student. Welcome to my lecture. I'm Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah, and today we are starting now the chapter 2. The chapter 2 deals with nature and characteristic of tourism. So please enjoy my lecture. What are the learning objectives of nature and characteristics of tourism? Let's count on them. We will learn and understand the nature of tourism. By this time, you would have got a good grip on what tourism is. Now, we will understand the nature of tourism. We will also learn and know about the different characteristics of tourism. What are the characteristics that makes tourism? And we understand as a learning different factors affecting the tourism industry. What impacts the tourism industry? What brings up tourism industry flourishing or at times getting possibly disturbed? So we will learn that and understand the different factors affecting the tourism industry. So sectors, what are the sectors that fall under travel and tourism? We can say that, yes, this is a sector that is adding up to travel and tourism. And they are accommodation. Now, when we talk of accommodation not necessarily means a hotel. Accommodation could be rental apartments. Also, accommodation means the long lease houses, resorts, floating hotels, or small city hotel, big hotels, all are falling under accommodation. And the second sector of the tourism industry, from where the tourists go to see some other place, is attraction. What attracts them to visit them? This attraction could be anything. We will count on to them. Transportation, any sector of transportation, be it is flight or bus or train, private cars, luxury boats, river cruise, all are transportation. Then who designs all this? Because tourism is a systematic sale in form of travel arrangements. So there are travel planners. Some are purely linked to, like travel bloggers. They literally highlights you certain thing from where you can pick up and plan your thing. And those who are organizers. So this could be a travel agent, a tour operator, or a group or a destination promoting company. They are all under travel planners and organization. And in attractions, taking it further, is tourist places. What is there as an attraction for them should be a tourist place. People going down to Delhi, people have in Delhi the Red Fort, the Jantra Mantra, the Parliament House and so on. And likewise, people coming to Mumbai would see possibly Gate of India, possibly go down to Nariman Point, possibly go down to Cuff Parade area and so on. So these are all tourist places. And then of course, the destination marketers, which are also known as DMC, destination marketing companies. These are specialized people who are contributing towards travel and tourism industry's growth, and they are different sector segmented in accordance which we just now saw. So once again, let's read about accommodation. I identified to you that accommodation, we generally believe only at hotel. No, not only the hotel, but the lodges and dharamsalas. Now, where are dharamsalas? For example, say you go down to Varanasi, or you go down to Pandharpur, or you go down somewhere to Haridwar. So there are a lot of charitable organizations who have designed places for pilgrims to come and stay there for no payment, just live there and even have some food there. So these are accommodations. And lodges. Lodges could be opposite the railway station. A lodge can be somewhere where one just stay till they enjoy that place and see the place. So they are also falling under accommodation. Then private guest house. Houses owned by people and they just offer bed and breakfast. There may not be any service like a linen chain, like a very high-end type of a hotel accommodation. All that may not be there, just bed and breakfast where you can possibly have even a shower outside the bedroom. Resorts. We all know the resorts around Mumbai, be it is in Karjat area, Lonavala, Mahabaleshwar, or likewise, anywhere in India, we have resorts where people go for a short break of 2 days, 1 night, 3 days, 2 nights, etc. And farmhouses. Now, many of our friends who have their own field of farms, they have their farmhouse there. And at many times, they give these farmhouses on rental basis also, so that around the year, they start generating some revenue. Because farmhouse is not necessarily used by the owners every time. So farmhouses, which used to be earlier something classified as dak bungalow. So farmhouses, dak bungalows were purely meant for government employees, especially the Britishers in the British era. So farmhouses are there. We have farmhouses of the big celebrities. They may not be not necessarily linked to a particular farm, but that has built away from a downtown area, away into the remote places. Could be somewhere in Lonavala, could be somewhere in Pune, away from Pimpri, and so on and so forth. Holiday and vacation spot. People only go for specific reason to those destinations. Short breaks, lot of corporate and BPO, KPO employees, they go down to Lonavala for 2 nights, Matheran for just weekend and come back. So those are our holiday spots. Well, not much of activities happen, but just people go down. Possibly all the activities happen within the radius of that holiday resort or a spot. And conference and exhibition center. Mind it, my dear student, there are conference centers around the world that can take as much as 1,000 people in one single hotel with the conference facilities available for them in that conference. There are 4 to 5 star hotels running conference center accommodation of a hotel within the same premises of a hotel. And then exhibition center. These are an element of MICE sector. MICE refer to meeting incentive, conferences and exhibitions, where these type of conference centers are built, which can accommodate as much as 800 to 1,000 people. And they are in big demand because if you have to address 1,000 people under one umbrella and one roof, then definitely you need to have an accommodation available to them and entertainment activities where it could be closer to an exhibition center or it could be in a conference building. A lot of new properties that are coming up in major cities are looking into this element into their accommodation provided. So they have a conference center and a hotel and they could host for as many as 1,000 or 1,000 plus guests to stay in that. We pick up from attraction. The attraction could be anything. Heritage sites. Heritage for us, like monuments, heritage, anything as a heritage that we take pride to show to the others. And we get people getting attracted to those sites, like palaces of some Maharajas in Jaipur. They have lake. They have lake. In that, they have built up a palace. All now they have converted into a hotel. So those are all different type of attraction. Tourist places I mentioned could be anything that attracts, brings tourists to that place. Also theme places based on local attraction where entertainment can happen, anything that where a theme is being set up as a place of entertainment. Theme places like you have entertainment of Disneyland, Disney World. Around Mumbai, you have, just an example, SL World, Expedia, or we can talk of Tikuji's Wadi as an example. Then wildlife park. Oh, this is some area where a lot of adventure tourists, wildlife lover would go and stay there. We have got more than 400 wildlife sanctuaries around India, including the bird sanctuaries. We have Gir National Park and Sanjeev Gandhi National Park around Kanha National Park in Madhya Pradesh. These are all different type of wildlife that you can see. And how can we forget on international level the Kruger National Park in South Africa? That is one of the Masai Mara in Kenya, Kruger National Park in South Africa, just as an example, you can understand. Or Kaziranga National Park of Assam, where one horse, one horn rhino is big attraction. We have Gir National Park for tiger reserves and so on and so forth. We have some of the Vrindavan Gardens where they have also wildlife of where we can see different type of wildlife that we have. Then religious tourism places. Religious tourism places. India is a cradle of different religion. We have something like a Baha'i temple, which is a lotus temple in Delhi, where the Baha'i faith people come and visit and go to that for their religious activities. And then we have got various other religious activities, religious tourist attractions in India as well as international. So all that also fall as an attraction. Then adventure tourism could be a bungee jumping, sports activities like a World Cup, cricket match, World Cup, football, Olympic Games, Asian Games, United or Commonwealth Games. These are all examples of various sports activities and activity center specially designed for sports activity and regional and local festival. Oh, how can we forget local and regional festivals like Baisakhi in Punjab, or we can talk about the Dandiya Ras in Gujarat around. Then we have Durga Puja in West Bengal, or festivals of Dashera. So many other regional and local festivals. Pushkar Mela that happens for camel sale in Jaisalmer. We have got Run of Kutch in Gujarat. All these are festivals. Kite, Makar Sankrant. All these are regional and local festival that contributes as an attraction. Transportation, need to understand, transportation also has lot of coverage. I mentioned to you, air travel, air services, could be a commercial flight, chartered flight, could be a scheduled flight, or could be just air service going from point A to point B, like Nita Ambani celebrating her 50th birthday, taking on charter flight, giving them air service and taking them to some place in Rajasthan to celebrate her 50th birthday. Just an example I gave you. So this is also a transportation. Commercial flight, scheduled flight, chartered flight, air services. There are a lot of air services available to go down to Ashtadham or go down to Haridwar in Uttarakhand, where chopper service, helicopter service is available for the tourists who can afford to pay. Then we have got railway and transport. Definitely, all over the world, there is high quality of rails are available in your rail, or you have got Amtrak in US, or we are now talking in India about the high range of train services being offered through Vande Bharat trains, which are absolutely perfect rail transport that could be offered to national as well as international tourists. When buses, coach operators, it has really gone on a very high end. There are tour operators who are running, the bus operators who are running, even the buses that has capacity for overnight stay in cabins in those buses. And the traditional government and private buses, which has just a sitting capacity for even a journey as long as 6 to 8 hours journey, people take up on the buses. We talk about the vehicle rental services, could be anything from the private operators like Ola and Uber to the services that are offered by the private service operators, rental services, and privately owned vehicle. They are all falling under the category of transportation, which are travel and tourism industry sector. We now take into consideration who are the travel planners and organization. To be a successful travel and tourism industry, we need to have a scientific approach in programming and designing an itinerary for a traveler. And the contribution comes in from travel agencies. There are a lot of travel agents who design their own itinerary by understanding the international traveler's need. That could be an itinerary, a travel agent that could design for a specific requirement of a group, tailor-made sort of a thing, or a set itinerary, one night Pattaya, 2 nights Bangkok, 1 night Phuket, visit this place, that place. These are all set itinerary that a travel agent would travel or a tour planner would design. Travel agents and travel agencies plays a major role. Sometimes they are designers, planners themselves. Sometimes they pick up and buy from the wholesaler or from a service provider and then sell it to the end user accordingly. Then we have got corporate organization. Now, this is again, as I mentioned in the previous slide, falling under the MICE business as a travel tourism industry sector. This has really grown. Every major country of the world has a special department called MICE department, wherein it is linked directly to the Ministry of Tourism, where the MICE type of a traveler who come for a meeting, incentive, conference, exhibitions or event, and certain incentives, certain type of products are offered to them and they can enjoy that. So those are all travel conference organization. The small booking agencies could be a web portal. You may never see, they might not have even exempled the product that they are selling, but they have a huge amount of supply chain from different hotels of the world. And at one push of a button, you can go through, it could be Yatra.com, it could be Agoda, and so on and so forth. It could be Galavia, or it could be a very different portal, Skyscanner on international platform. We have a lot of travel web portals selling booking agencies, Booking.com, Hotel.com, and so on and so forth. Then we have got leisure travel planners and organizers. We mentioned this in great detail, who really design and make up an itinerary where what most tourists would love to see are being offered. Mind it, there are certain travel planners who design for you what you want to see. Not all the tourists are interested in seeing what are you selling. For example, a group of tourists coming in from, say, Israel may not be interested in seeing visit to, with respect, going to Haji Ali or going down to Mahalakshmi Temple, because they may not find it interesting. But yes, all those coming in from Israel who have the family tree linked with Indian Jews when they were staying here, they would be possibly looking at going down to cemeteries or the areas built by Jews when they were in Mumbai. Just giving you an example how the travel planners work. They work for a set itinerary which is designed for a common tourist who would love to pick up because this is what more is available on sale, or a tailor-made specific itinerary that would only set up at what they have asked for. I would like to stay at five-star hotel. I would like to take an air-conditioned vehicle for two of us. I don't want non-AC bus. I don't want to see XYZ. I would like to see ABC. So these are type of different travel planners who have potential, professionalism, and understanding of the market. Most of these, which we just mentioned, hold a grip on the market. They know those markets. They can be called as expertise with those type of market. And likewise, if they are having an association with their foreign partners, say you are buying a trip for Thailand, then they have a tie-up with something which has an expertise, with someone that has an expertise of all this. And they would be connecting with them to sell those products to their travelers from India and so on. So mind it, these are very important sector in travel and tourism industry, as providing all these details, because they design what type of hotel is good for Indian tourists. For example, Indian group is going for a shopping. Shopping is definitely part of most Indian travelers in their itinerary. I would say 80 to 90% would definitely love to do shopping wherever they go. And this tour operator should understand the hotel that Indian would possibly take is closer to a shopping mall, closer to a restaurant that serves Indian food possibly. So all these are expertise. They play a major role in travel and tourism sector. Somebody who doesn't understand the needs of a specific market of that sector, who can't feel the pulse of that market, may not be successful as a travel planner and organizer. So you need to understand. And for that, to make travel and tourism sector successful, we shift to the next one. Tourist places. And then we have in tourist places, destination marketer. I mentioned something about this in the previous slide when I picked up and gave you example from a group of tourists coming in from Israel, and they would like to see their family tree, because there were a good number of Jews, those who were staying in Mumbai, and there are some synagogues of those Jews in Mumbai. They would like to visit them. You must know that travel operator, that tourist places, someone asks you, say someone is going down to Yangon, which is in Myanmar, old name Burma, old name Rangoon. And he or she would like to visit the mausoleum of the last Mughal king, Bahadur Shah Zafar, who is buried there in Yangon. Now, the travel agent should know that, yes, if an Indian tourist asks, I would like to visit the mausoleum or the burial ground of the last Mughal king, Bahadur Shah Zafar, where is that? And so on and so forth. Someone is looking for certain things, so tour planner must know the tourist destination very well and to market them. So there are certain new products that may come up as a man-made attraction. The tourism provider, the destination marketer must know that. He must or she must know, yes, this is a new product that is coming up and we need to promote this. So these are tourist places and destination market players' role. National tourism departments. We have Ministry of Tourism on a central level known as Ministry of Tourism, that currently has a minister of a cabinet rank and two state ministers. They look after most tourism activities that India needs to promote tourism for India as such to those international tourists. So this National Tourism Department should have a perfect designing of our tourism product, taking into consideration different segment of markets. What the international tourists want to see, they would like to see heritage sites. What are the heritage sites in our country? What is requirement of families? If someone is coming for a medical treatment, where are medical tourism being promoted in India? What hospitals are there where a specific type of medical attention is given? Whether they are looking at a regeneration, be charged up with natural resources like mud bath or maybe salt water therapy or possibly sauna, possibly spa, body massage, Telam massage in Kerala. All these are the requirement that National Tourism Department should have a grip on as their extension or as their market intelligence. Market needs market understanding. Then we have got regional and state tourist offices. This is very simple to understand. Ministry of Tourism, the central ministry at Delhi. Then we have got X number of state in our country. So Maharashtra Tourism Department, Ministry of Tourism Maharashtra, Ministry of Tourism Karnataka, Karnataka Tourism Board, Kerala Tourism Development Corporation, so on and so forth. So these are different state or regional offices. In Europe, mind it, many countries don't have Ministry of Tourism. They have regional tourism or state tourism offices, be it in Switzerland or Germany, Austria, they have different tourism departments, including US. There is nothing called Ministry of Tourism there. All these state and regional tourist offices promote those destinations, which could be a combination of a private sector, which is funded by private sector, the tour operator, the hoteliers, the tour and the different tourist attractions. They run these regional offices to promote those destinations. And then state travel association, there could be many. Like for India, we have got TAI. We have got TAI stand for Travel Agent Association of India. Then we have got TAFI, Travel Agent Federation of India. And likewise, we have internationally various associations all around the world, which are private or regional tourist travel association, UFTA, Universal Federal Travel Agents Association. IATA is, of course, non-governmental body, but again, a tourist and travel association. Then we have got ASTA, KATA, JATA, JATA. All these are different travel organizations set up around the world, looking in the best interest of promoting travel and tourism industry as a sector growth. Goods and service. What is this? Goods are described as purchased product. Now mind it, tourism city tour is a good. Strictly in the economical term, yes, it's a good because very much like any goods, even tourism products have perishable nature. How is that? A city tour to happen on 1st of January must happen on 1st of January. If it didn't happen, that product will have no commercial value on 2nd of Jan. Let's take an example. An aircraft is flying with 200 seats, flying off from Mumbai to Dubai with 200 seats, only 100 seats being sold. 100 are empty. And those 200 seats are goods. And only 100 seats were sold. Once the flight is airborne, those 100 seats, while the aircraft is flying, no one will buy because the aircraft has taken off. So they have perishable nature. You must sell those 100 seats before the flight takes off from the airport. Maybe last minute. Maybe on 10 hours before the flight is taking off, you sold that product maybe at discount as a special price and blah, blah, blah. So mind it, goods described as purchased product resulting into the ownership of physical item. Again, that seat where you are sitting, 12D, is your seat only for a flight between Mumbai to Dubai. The moment your journey ends at Dubai, that 12D is no more your property. You don't own it. It is just for that particular day. So services are intangible. I was talking to you. These services are, you can't say, I took a city tour in Bangkok and I enjoyed 2 kilos. You are just experiencing this. So they cannot be seen, but can be experienced. I explained just now that the city tour of Bangkok city can just be experienced. You cannot say, as I said, I enjoyed 3 kilos of happiness. No, I enjoyed thoroughly. That's why the marks come in, rate the service from 1 to 10, 1 being poor, 10 being the excellent. Or you get 5 smiling faces, wherein the last is the most happy face and you heart. So that is, the service is intangible. You cannot touch anything. You cannot say, yes, I'm touching the city tour of Dubai. I'm enjoying it. I'm benefiting out of it. I'm experiencing it. I'm getting happy. I'm feeling happy about it. I'm thoroughly enjoying. Yes, that's what you commend. So intangible, you cannot touch it. And you have to be being there. If you want to enjoy a city tour of Bangkok, you have to physically be in Bangkok. You cannot just, you can have a virtual reality through VR by various electronic gadgets. But to see that, what you saw in virtual reality, you have to be there in Bangkok. So these explain 2 things. The tourism products are perishable. And second is that they are intangible. You cannot touch it. You can just experience it. I hope you understood this goods and service very clearly. Further, purchasing products that do not create any ownership. Explain to you the C12D example. Mumbai, Dubai is only till you land in Dubai, you sit on 12D. The moment you disembark and the flight is about to return to Mumbai, the 12D will be occupied by another passenger. So you can experience while you are using it at a specific time and specific location. The same aircraft, once it returns or it goes from Dubai to London, the 12D would be occupied by Mr. A and not you. So it has to be specified location. The buyer of a ready-made luxury watch, here is an example given in this explanation, takes it from the store and wears it when and where he likes. So this wristwatch that you have is your ownership because you have bought it. Likewise, the tourism product is only available to you for which you have paid for it, and that's it. The producer needs to have no further involvement unless the product has any defect. So if you say, oh, I'm not happy with this, it's not reclining, change me the seat, take me out from 12D and put me to another seat where I can recline myself, feel easy, or I have a disturbing co-passenger, please take me to another seat. He or she is much snoring, whatever. Okay. Likewise, you bought a wristwatch and the wristwatch is perfectly working. It is within your warranty period. If it has a damage, then only you can claim. After the warranty period, you cannot ask for anything. So this is further explanation and goods and services. So nature of the tourism industry is amalgam of phenomena and the relationship rather than a single one. All the tourism industry is linked to one other. They are gelled up together. An itinerary would have all those sectors that we spoke. An itinerary will have your hotel stay, your flight ticket, your city tour, your visiting malls, you seeing to an attraction. All this will be amalgamation of one another. It cannot be standalone, tourism industry. You cannot just say, yes, I went on a holiday by just taking a flight. You have gone for non-tourism activity that we explained in the previous slides. So these phenomena and relationship, right from a movement of people to and stay in the various destinations, there is a dynamic element and a static element, which means You have activities happening when you have taken a city tour. You are enjoying. You are going from place to place. You are looking at various attractions. You are seeing them. All this is happening. And then you have reached your hotel room. After a full hectic day trip, you are taking a relaxation. So that comes a static element, which means the strain. We are just in a hotel. Maybe you are watching a television. That's all. So the moment to destination is of a temporary short-term character. So all these activities are a short-term. 3 days itinerary over, you come back to where you went from. You have come back to Mumbai after a 4 days trip to Bangkok. Nothing more than that. You have to come back. So this is the nature of tourism industry. So tourism features, let's count on the features. They are inseparable. I mentioned this very clearly. They have to be taken to enjoy a city tour of Interlaken in Switzerland. You have to be in Interlaken. They cannot be separated. You cannot enjoy an Interlaken trip of Switzerland by sitting in Mumbai and physically enjoy. No, maybe you have seen a movie, a slide, a video clip, a reel, or possibly virtual reality, but you haven't been there. To enjoy that, you have to be in Interlaken. And it should be heterogeneity and variability. So that has to be in that respect only. They are perishable. I gave a good talk on to that. I hope you understand. The hotel room available on the night of 31st December must be sold for 31st December. The moment it turns into 1st January and the hotel which had 500 rooms went empty with 50 rooms, you did not generate any revenue for those empty rooms. They were without guests. So you earned revenue only from 450 rooms. So that's how even the hotel properties, hotel room, which is a goods, has a perishable nature. So the hotels come up with pricing that attracts and put a price that benefits the tourists. Intangibility, you have to be tangible to that. It cannot be touched as they include flights. So you cannot touch them on an airport, a night rest in a hotel, a view of the mountain, a visit to a museum, and much more. These products are just experience. I mentioned to you that you use adjective to define your experiences. It was fantastic, amazing, astonishing, enjoyable, thoroughly benefited out of this trip. I'm relaxed. I'm cooled down. I've had a huge amount of taxation, but I'm now coming up and I'm relaxed. The stress is gone. I'm just relaxing, thoroughly enjoyed. All these adjectives you use, but you cannot just say that, yes, I felt this and I enjoyed 20 kilograms of happiness. No. So tourism products are intangible. Sometimes, of course. Sometimes you get, for example, you paid for the meal. While you are on a trip, they serve you meal. You bought a KFC. You bought a Chhattis Bhog. And that is provided to you for the money you paid. But sometimes, yes, what was the food? Oh, it was delicious. That would you say. Okay, so intangibility being explained to you here.